Revelation 22, we're at the very end of the Bible, the last chapter. Thankful that it's been a long journey, I feel like, going through Revelation. We've had some highs, we've had some lows, we've had some blessings, worshiping around the throne. We've had all the way down to the pit of hell. You know, we've gone everywhere in between. And if you've noticed, this book has covered really everything in the Bible. You know, I heard a preacher say quite a while ago, I was listening to him, and he said, there is nothing in Revelation that is new. It is pulling from different things that have already been said in the Bible, and it's just putting it all together into one book. And as we've gone through it, I hope you've noticed, and I hope as you are reading through the Bible itself, you are noticing things that Revelation talks about, and then noticing the other way and back and forth. But as we're getting to the end this morning, we talked about heaven, which is mentioned in the first few verses of Revelation 22. But one of the things that should catch your eye is we have been going through, chapter after chapter after chapter in Revelation, and something should catch your eye here in chapter 22. The red letters are back. You know, we haven't seen red letters since, I believe, Revelation chapter 3. I didn't double check, but I don't think we've seen them. And if we have, it's very, very few. But as we get to 22, we're getting to the end. We see one final message, and it's not only one final message, but one final message from Jesus Christ himself. So I want to look at something he repeats three times. So we're not going to read the whole passage. We're actually just going to read verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20. So Revelation chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 7. Jesus said this, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then in verse 12, Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And finally, in verse 20, the last thing that Jesus says in the entire Bible is right here. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up our ears and our hearts to what you have to say tonight. And Lord, that it would be an encouragement, but Lord, it would be a help and a challenge, Lord, that we could apply this as well. And Lord, if there's any that are lost, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you before it's too late, as you invite one last time for everyone to come to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and amen. So we're in the final chapter, looking at the final words of Jesus Christ. And here's what I was saying, is we've seen these red letters. And he is telling us something three times. I don't know if you caught it, but in verse 7, 12, and verse 20, he says, "I come quickly." Yeah. And he says the same thing three different times. He repeats it. We've said it before. When teachers repeat things, it's because it's important. When the Holy Spirit repeats something, it's because it's important. When the Bible repeats something, it's because it's important. And Jesus Christ wants us to get one thing across in the end. He doesn't repeat their a river of life three times, but there will be. He doesn't repeat that there's going to be the tree of life, that there's going to be a heaven. He doesn't repeat all these wonderful things. He doesn't repeat that there's a throne in heaven, and there will be. He doesn't repeat that, but what he repeats is, "I come quickly." And that's what I want to look tonight in his final warning that he is saying. And to the Christian, those words, "I come quickly," those words are filled with hope. Oh, but those that are lost, it is a scary thing, and it is a warning. One last time, three last times here, that he's saying the same thing. "I come quickly." I'm glad, as being a Christian, that's what Jesus finished his word with, because that tells me that we have hope, that we're not left alone here in this life. We've got hope that we're not going to be left to our own devices. You know, many are saying that God, they say this about false gods, that maybe he's asleep. Remember Elisha said that? Yeah. Maybe your gods are asleep. Why don't you yell louder and wake him up? But I'm glad that our God is alive and he is on the throne. And he is not only on the throne, but he said, I go to prepare a place for you and I'll come again. And that's what I'm looking for. And he is saying right here, but in the first two times, verse 7 and verse 12, he says the word behold. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. He says it twice. And that word behold, he wants us to pay attention and to think about it. He wants us to ponder that. Ponder the message that I'm getting ready to tell you. And the message is I'm coming quickly. And I'm thankful for that. I come quickly. That's what he is saying. And I'm sorry, sometimes I'll say it a little wrong. But notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, I will come quickly. You see that? Look at it again in your Bible. He doesn't say, I will come quickly. He says, I come quickly. He's not using the future tense that he will come quickly. And you're thinking, well, why on earth? That doesn't seem to make sense that he would use the present tense. And I believe that he is using the present tense to say, I come quickly, because his return is so imminent. It is so close that it's as if it's already started. Why? Yeah. Because listen to this, James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Listen to this, behold, the judge standeth before the door. And I started thinking about that. Can you imagine Jesus Christ already stood up from his throne and he has walked towards the door of heaven? You know, that door in his hand is ready to open it. The door that would open up the sky and we would be able to look and see heaven. You believe one day he's going to split the eastern sky? Can you imagine if his hand is right there ready to open up the skies? And that's what he's saying right there. The judge is just on the other side of the door. He is that close to being not only opening up the sky, but he is that close to calling his bride home to the wedding and to the marriage supper. He is that close. He isn't sending somebody else, or he would say, someone else will come quickly and get you. He says, I come quickly. I, Jesus himself, is coming to get his bride and to get his children. How fast is that? How fast is I come quickly? 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And he goes on, and I love where he says, death is swallowed up in victory. In 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How quickly will it be? Well, he said it would be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That tells me faster than you can blink your eye, the judge will go from behind the door to inside the door, through the door, and coming to get his children, and we'll meet him somewhere in the air in between. And I'm thankful for that. But it is imminent. It is close. It is quick. He is saying, you know what else he talked about? We've mentioned this before. We've already talked about the bride and the bridegroom. Remember in those days, the bridegroom would, after they'd get engaged or betrothed, he would go away to prepare a place at his father's house or his father's land. Sometimes he would add on extra rooms, and that's where the place that would be prepared. And then at some point, the father would say, it's done. Go get your bride. And then he would come, usually in the middle of the night, with his crowd of people. And as they got to the edge of the city, they would cry out that the groom is here. And the bride would have had to have been ready, because she didn't know what night it would happen or what moment the bridegroom would come to get her. But there she would. And you remember, we've talked about it even recently. There were 5 virgins that were wise, and they were prepared and they were ready to go. So at the moment, they were already ready. And that's what we see. His return is imminent. And he says, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for how close it is. But look at verse 7. What else it says? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So not only does he saying, I come quickly, but there is a blessing for those that keep this book. And you're thinking, wait a second. Keeping the book, this is a book filled with the future. This is a book filled with prophecy, with things that are to come. And in fact, you look at this, and one of the things that's a blessing to me is as a church, we see ourselves here worshiping. We see ourselves doing different things, but I don't see the church judging the world. I don't see the church bringing plagues. I don't see the church doing all those things because we're going to be in heaven. Yeah. So you're thinking, how can we keep the sayings of a book where we're probably just going to be watching God and watching the angels and watching everything that John saw? So how do we keep something like that? You know how we keep it? By believing that everything in it is true. By believing that everything that God says will happen, everything John was allowed to see, everything is real, and that you trust God, and that every warning is real. And in fact, all the way up until today where he says, I come quickly. And if you believe that's true, not only with your lips, but with your mind, and you live it with your heart and with your life. And if you're keeping the book, that means your eyes are set towards heaven and not towards this earth. You are preparing yourself like the five wise virgins, and it says if you keep it, if you prepare yourself, if you are ready when he comes back at that unknown time, you will be a blessed person. And I'm thankful for that. If you agree that in a split second we could be standing, go from being standing on this earth to standing before our judge and our creator and our savior, then it will cause you to live a different life. And we saw this morning, 1 John 3:2, listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's another verse just like this morning. It said we will see his face. We shall see his face. And here, 1 John 3:2, we're going to see Jesus face to face, in person, not somebody else, not far away, it's a personal relationship and a personal Savior. And I'm thankful for that. So he says, I come quickly, and we need to be ready. But also look at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. When we see the face of Jesus, we're not only going to see the face of our judge, but the face of our rewarder, right? I'm thankful that we will see the rewarder. 2 Corinthians 5:7-10 says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every single one of us will stand before Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you're going to stand before the judgment seat, and he will look at your and my faithfulness. He expects us to be a good steward with what we've been given to him, to put it to work. And then we will later give an account to Jesus, our master. We see that over and over again in the Bible and in the Gospels. Our reward is not on this earth for a Christian person. We'll receive blessings for doing his will, but the true rewards are in heaven. And he said, my reward is with me, and I'm thankful for that. You know, one of the steps of faith, I was just thinking about it as I read it, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but one thing's for sure, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, but above heaven there are rewards, and I don't know exactly what they are, but I say praise God, because he said many times he talked about what you gave up versus what you gained, and it's always multiplied 100-fold, 70-fold, 10-fold, all these different folds. And I'm just thankful, because it felt like a little service in this life. I feel like I haven't given up much, because all I've done is given up a life of sin, given up a life of living for the devil, living up a life of deception and despair, and I've traded for a life with Jesus Christ, a life with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, a life
life with the Bible leading my steps. And even though I may have given up things in my career and given up hobbies and different things like that, we've got eternal rewards to gain. And he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man. I may forget what you've done. If you've done something for me, I may forget it. But Jesus Christ will never forget what you and I have done. I think about the letters in Revelation 2 and 3 to the churches. He says over and over again, I know thy works. I know thy works. And he'll say that to us as well. I know what you've been doing, and I'm thankful for that. I say praise God. But it could be a moment of pride. If I sat here and I started to say, look what I've done over here and look what I've done over there. We need to stop sometimes and remind ourselves the only reason we could even be faithful, number one, is because we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But number two, he has given us all grace and strength to do anything for him. Without him, we could do nothing. And I'm thankful for the Lord. It's feeling good up here. I don't know about you, but we see that there's a final day where we'll be judged, and we know that that judgment could come at any moment. So that means we have to be ready, because just as the judge is on the other side of the door, so is the reward right on the other side of the door. Do you believe that? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we could see the very reward that we obtain. I say praise God, because who knows with what God has sent you to do tomorrow or later today or next month or whatever, and you're getting preparations ready, and you're walking out by faith, and you take that first step by faith, and he calls you home just like Enoch and takes us home. I believe it's imminent. He said, behold, I come quickly. Yeah. But not only do we have to be ready, and not only is the reward coming, look at verse 20. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He doesn't say, behold, this time. He says, surely. Surely, truly. It's going to happen. And he wants us to be certain of it. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Do you realize Peter dealt with the exact same problem that we deal with today? We've got a lost world, and they are scoffing or mocking at the return of Jesus Christ. They're saying, I don't understand why you're looking for him. He left, he died, and he's left you all alone. They're mocking the fact that there is a hell. They're mocking the fact that they will be judged for their sins, and they're scoffing all of these things. There are so many people that mock the Bible, and they mock Christians. They mock you and I. They mock this church. There are people driving by that will look into this parking lot, and they're so deep in their sins, and they're so deceived by the devil that they will mock and scoff and say, I can't believe they're wasting their time. I can't believe they're coming together. But I'm here to tell you, just because they mock and just because they question where is the promise of his coming, and I'm telling you, it has been a lot of years since Jesus said he would come back. It's been a lot of years since Peter said they were mocking. They're still mocking today. And do you realize what they're saying? They're saying nothing has changed, right? Everything, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The sun still sets in the morning, or rises in the morning and sets in the evening. We still have days, weeks, months, and years, and all these things are going. The world is still turning. Everything seems to be the same. Where is this Jesus? Where is he if evil is reigning and everything else? They're mocking that today. We are making preparations, and they're saying, you're preparing for a God that will never come. You're praying to a God that will never listen. But I'm here to tell you, Peter gives the reason through the Holy Spirit in verse 9. He says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Which promise? The one that they were mocking, that the wise the Lord delaying his coming. He is not slack. He is coming, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen to what else he says in verse 10. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are spirit therein shall be burned up. I like verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The only reason that God hasn't come back, that he hasn't sent his son Jesus Christ to come get us, is because he is long-suffering. Long-suffering. He is patient with this world. And it amazes me how patient he is. Until I really stop and be honest with myself. And I should be amazed with how patient he is with me. He's long-suffering. Do you see what, did you hear what that verse said? Long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish. Right? That's a twofold right there. He puts up with us and he puts up with the world. Praise God for that. He's long-suffering. We just pray that someone, some of these mockers, some of these scoffers, some of these sinners that are drunk with pleasure, drunk with success, drunk with lust and everything else, and then drunk with drugs and everything and alcohol, that they would wake up and that they would see the truth of the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they would come to know Jesus, and that they would be saved from hellfire. It is those that are being saved, like Jimmy was saying. We need to pray for those, because there are so many out here. I believe there are many that would never come to this building that have heard service and sermon after sermon, and I pray that the Holy Spirit lodges it in their mind and in their heart, and they continue to think about it and ponder it, and the next time the world lets them down, and it will very quickly, that they'll think about the God that will never let them down. And as soon as they realize, just like the prodigal son realized, that I'm in the hog pen, and that even the servants at Father's house have it way better off than I do, I pray this world sees the same thing, that they look inside Father's house and they see that the servants have it way better off than they do, because we do. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he finishes with this. The last four words of Jesus Christ in our Bible is, surely I come quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. That's why we're still here. That's why we're still preaching. That's why we're not giving up. That's why we are still trying to walk by faith. That's why we are still praying for lost loved ones. That's why we are still witnessing. That's why we're still holding revivals. That's why we're still making preparations for vacation Bible school and everything else. That's why we're still teaching Sunday school. That's why we're still singing songs. That's why we're still doing everything that it takes to get the word out. From cleaning the building to mowing the grass to everything else. We are doing all of those things because Jesus said, surely I come quickly, and everything that we can do to get the word out to this lost world, I pray that one more that the Lord is long suffering for, one more comes to know him, one more family member, one more friend, one more co-worker, one more classmate comes to know the Lord before it's too late, and it'll be worth it after all. If we have to endure this world a little longer, we'll get eternity anyway. It'll be all right. Once we get there, we'll forget about all the troubles and trials that we had in this short life, once we see Jesus' face, and we will see his face. But I'm telling you, who knows if he is right at the door, and any second he will appear. Praise God for that. And we think about it, and we say, just imagine it, because it's real. He says, surely I come quickly. If he is on the other side of the door, how are you going to live your life today? How are you going to live your life tomorrow if he's on the other side of the door? And just that quickly, he could return. If you're a Christian person, then you need to be thinking, if he is going to come and his reward is with him, and he will judge me and you for what we've done with what he's given us, if he's going to judge our faithfulness, I want to end being faithful. Don't you?
Amen.
Well, if he's on the other side of the door, I've got to be faithful right now.
Yes.
Because once the door opens, it's too late.
That's right.
Right? It was too late for the wise and the foolish virgins to change anything. It was too late for the one whose house was broken into. The thief already came. He said, that's how I'm coming. And if you're a lost person, you don't know Jesus Christ, your judge right at the other side of the door. And he's not judging how, he's not judging your works. He is judging your soul and your sin. And when your sin is there and hasn't been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are headed to hell just that quickly. That's what Jesus said. Surely, I come quickly. His final message. You know what it is? It's not only a warning, but it's an invitation. Right? Come. Come. All ye that are heavy laden. Come to find salvation. Come to find more grace and strength to continue on. That's what he's saying. Come. Be ready. Why? Because he's coming. And he's coming quickly. And he's bringing his reward. And it's more certain than anything in this life. You know, I've heard a lot of things throughout these last 2 months about, you know, Jimmy talked about it this morning in Sunday school. One day they'll tell you wearing a mask is a good thing. The next thing they'll say it's a bad thing, right? One day they'll say, you know, not to do this. And then the next day they'll tell you to do that. They have no idea, for the most part, a lot of different things. And, you know, it isn't just this virus that the world is clueless about. They're clueless about a lot of things. Yeah, right. And, you know, they make a lot of proclamations and a lot of promises. And most of the time we take it with a grain of salt and we don't even think twice about it. You know, when Congress says we're going to get a solution and we're going to help you, most of us are like, sure, you're going to help me. You're going to help yourself and make it look like you're helping me so you get another vote, right? Amen. Right there. That goes right there. But you think about it, they make all sorts of promises and they only half deliver. Jesus said, surely I come quickly. He will deliver. He's true. He's not a politician. He's our Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight as we close. Maybe you need to come and to pray tonight.